The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about AI, artificial intelligence, with author A.G.G. Liu, who's got a book written with Ashwari Hawar, PhD. The book is called The Handy Artificial Intelligence Answer Book. It is terrific, and I can't wait to get into our conversations with A.G.G. because I think I'm going to learn a lot, and you're going to learn a lot, and we're going to have a lot of fun here on Guys Guys Radio. So ask yourself, what does artificial intelligence mean for work, for society, for our lives? What is it capable of right now, and what might it be capable of in the future? It's popping up everywhere. Google searches, customer service calls. I just had one the other day where AI handled everything perfectly. Netflix, YouTube, TikTok algorithms, real-time traffic updates and routing, Siri and Alexa, to name just a few. It seems that AI is pervading more and more of our society, and we've got to get a handle on it. A lot of people ask, is AI going to take my job? Well, I think the key is that you've got to learn how to manage AI. It's a tool. It's going to take some jobs, replace some jobs, and it's going to create other jobs. So you have to be on the creative edge when it comes to doing things that a computer or algorithms can't do. Our society's going to change. It's the same thing when, you know, the internet came up and email came up and fax machines came up and the telephone came up and the TV came up. We managed to deal with it and we managed to continue growing. And I think that's what's going to happen in AI. And today we're going to talk about the earliest forms of AI, how it works, what some of the ethical questions are, what are some of the fears associated with the idea of thinking machines, and more, with special guest A.G.G. Liu, right here on today's Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show. And today we're going to talk about AI. My special guest is A.G.G. Liu, author of The Handy Artificial Intelligence Answer Book, a practical guide designed to help everyday people, professionals, entrepreneurs, and curious minds understand one of the most transformative technologies of our time, artificial intelligence. You know, AI is no longer something reserved for scientists and tech giants. It's already influencing how we work, how we communicate, how we create, how we learn, how we shop, invest, and make decisions. Yet many people remain uncertain about what AI actually is, how it works, and how it will affect their lives. And believe me, it will. So today we'll separate fact from fiction, explore the opportunities and risks of AI, and discuss how listeners can use this powerful technology wisely and effectively. Welcome to Guys Guys Radio, A.G.G. Liu.
Hello. Good to be here.
So I guess we should start at the beginning. You wrote this book with your writing partner,
Dr. Ishwari
here's the book. I'm in the middle of it, so I have a piece of paper there. I'll take it out, but it's fantastic. And the first thing I wondered when I was reading the book was, I wonder if AI wrote this book for you.
No, we did this all manually. We really wanted the goal here to be something that would be accessible to people, right? And I think in this age of AI, where it's so easy to get AI to write something for you, the thing that's going to be more important is knowing exactly what to write, knowing exactly what you can do that the AI can't. And so when we created this, the publisher, the publisher Visible Ink Press, they came to me and they said, "Hey, we have this great idea. We want to write this book in this series about AI." And I created a draft, worked with Dr. Pawar to sort of turn it into the current format. And yeah, it's really meant to be for a general audience. It's meant to be for people, like your listeners.
It's amazing. I've gone through the book. It's not one of these books that you have to read from page one to the end, but it's just a list of questions that are really good and has very clear, easy to digest answers. And I think anybody who has an interest in AI, and if you don't have an interest in AI, you basically don't have an interest in being part of the culture going forward, because
This is fair.
it's here to stay. And the key is, as I tell my 13-year-old son, don't worry about it taking your job. Learn how to use it, because it's going to create so much more in terms of jobs. So nothing to be afraid of, but a couple of guardrails, of course, but concerns, but not fear. And let's work with it. So for the benefit of everybody, because we hear, about computing and Google, and then we hear about AI, and I think a lot of people are not sure how to make the differentiation between what's the difference between like Googling something and asking a service like ChatGPT. What's the difference between AI and data processing computer,
Of
typical computer
course.
stuff?
Yeah. So AI came out of that data processing idea, but it works a little differently. So the AIs that we talk about today usually are something called a large language model. Large because it's got tons and tons of these numbers inside of it that it uses to make its processing. And it's a language model because it works with human language. So the difference between something like a standard program and a large language model is that when we write a computer program, even something as complicated as, say, Google search was before it became AI related, every line of code in there was created by someone with a specific purpose. So you'd have a whole giant team of coders. They would work together to create this gigantic algorithm and everything, and they would know how each part works. With AI, it's a little bit different. With AI, what you do is you create a machine that can learn, hence the term machine learning, which is often thrown around in the same sentences as AI. And basically, the way it learns, it's not quite the same as a human, but it has all these sort of tweakable numbers in it. And you give it tons and tons and tons of examples, most of the internet at this point, and it learns how to write human language by looking at those examples and trying to predict what's the next word in a sentence or a paragraph or something like that. And so it doesn't work in a way where we know how each line of it works. In fact, there's a lot of effort right now to try and understand what goes on inside their little programming circuits here. So when you ask something like ChatGPT, it's not going to be necessarily quite as reliable as something like a Google search or quite as organized the same way. But it's going to have different strengths. It can do some things that are hard to program explicitly, things that are hard to explain about, creativity, making poetry, things like that.
Oh, fantastic. So, what's the biggest misconception then that people have about AI right now, the general population?
Ooh, the general population. I would say a lot of people don't know what AI is capable of right now. I think a lot of people, if they've tried AI, they've used it when ChatGPT first came out, and they think, okay, that's from 2022, that's exactly how it is now. But it's gotten a lot better and different in certain ways. Now AI, it can work with text, it can actually write things out for you, it can work with images, it can work with so many different sorts of things. And one of the big problems with AI that's been true for a very long time and is still true is that it's not 100% reliable. Sometimes it'll make things up. So the companies call this the hallucination. I prefer the term confabulation myself. It's just basically shamelessly guessing an answer. But what you can do is you can ask the AI where it got its information from. And it'll be able to send you links to other places on the internet. And that means you as a person can back up what this AI is saying. So again, it's about like what you're saying, you know, how you use AI, learning how to use it effectively to help you instead of to mislead you.
It's two thoughts here, AGG. One is why, why AI seemed to have like shown up all at once. It's been being used, but I think it's been kind of unveiled to the general public recently. But it hasn't.
Sure.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So really, it hit the public scene all at once, sort of in 2022 with the release of ChatGPT, the original version. Basically, the methods of computer science, the logic behind how we build these systems, has existed in some form for decades. It sort of became a hot topic in the research field in the 2010s or so. But it wasn't hooked up to enough computing power to actually make something that would be useful for the general public or interesting to the general public. It was just, you know, a research tool. It could do something like play the game of Go, for instance. It was an ancient Chinese game that was famously beaten in 2016. They beat the best human experts. So it's right when that ChatGPT moment was the first time that these older algorithms were connected to enough computing power to matter. And once companies saw how big of a prize that was, that's when they started throwing tons and tons and tons of their computer power and their money to build new computers and everything like that in order to make this the behemoth that is today.
And now we've got, talking about behemoths, you have companies like NVIDIA who make the processing chips.
Yeah, NVIDIA,
chips.
Yeah.
NVIDIA, the processing chips, and then you have all these data centers being built, and people are like, what's going on here? But using AI uses a lot of energy, I guess. So could you explain that, how that works, so people understand?
Yeah, of course. So this is something we talk about in the book. The deal with AI is that it uses lots and lots of computing power, both to make the AI do what you want in the first place. So training the AI, that is going through all those examples and having it learn the patterns of human language and how to answer questions and things like that. And when you're actually running an AI, it's a more complicated computer operation than something like an older Google search would have been. So you actually do need a pretty powerful computer somewhere in the world to be running that. And I don't want to oversell this. It's still using less energy than, you know, say running a lawnmower or something like that. It's not going to be anything that's by itself, each individual AI search isn't going to be a big problem. But once you have millions or billions of people using this thing, then it multiplies. And then all of a sudden, it's a problem. Now the electrical grid has to worry about, can it power all these data centers and everything else that comes along with that?
Now, as an expert in the area, what do you think? What's the answer to that? Because people are concerned, as you've seen, you know, all these data centers, it's all about surveillance. We're going to suck all the power. The grids are old, that we can't protect them, et cetera. What do you foresee as a solution to this?
As a solution to this, I'd say that we've known for a very long time that the power grid needs upgrading. It's just something that, you know, every kind of person involved in the actual system says, this is something that we need to work on. And so this is just adding fuel to that fire, right? The more these data centers, they use power basically 24/7 compared to some of these other sorts of things. And so I really think that part of that's going to be making the grid smarter, making it have better energy storage so that you can take, you know, energy that's coming in the daytime or the nighttime and smooth it out. Mm-hmm. That also helps because there's a very specific problem where data centers need power that's organized very cleanly. So, you know, that alternating current that's going through your wires, if that shape that current is making is a little jagged, then the data center can't really use it very well. So there's a specific thing they'll do is if that power just loses that quality to it, they'll switch over to backup power. And then all of a sudden, there's a bunch of extra energy on the grid, which is almost as big a problem. And it needs to be dumped somewhere. So basically, all the same kinds of things people have been talking about for a while, you know, making sure we're having more efficient power plants, making sure that we have the energy storage, you know, solar is getting very cheap, as much as it's kind of a meme. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's going to be the solution there. But then also there are some more technical ways to try and make AI more efficient on the chips that we have, mm-hmm. Which I could go into also.
Where do you see in terms of kind of the race for AI between the various big powers and countries on the earth, where do you see the US sitting? Are we in the lead? Are we number two? I mean, China obviously is highly evolved in the system. How about the other countries? Are they way behind, or is it just the two of us, or what do you see there, AGG?
So it's pretty much just the US and China in the race at this point. There's a few European ones. There's some in the UK is involved in some. I think there's Mistral that's in, I believe, France. But really, it's the American companies and the Chinese companies that are in the lead. But I also want to stress it's not just all of America racing against all of China. It's a few American companies. You've got
Right.
Google, you've got OpenAI, you've got Anthropic, and they're racing each other as well as they're racing the Chinese companies. So you've got your Qwen, you've got your Baidu and Alibaba, all those guys. So it's not a monolithic thing, one or the other. I'd say that, but the US teams are, the US companies are in the lead right now. You know, the biggest news has been coming out of companies like Anthropic and OpenAI, especially with Claude Fable that's been in the news lately. So there's it's not an insurmountable lead. You know, there's a chance that depending on what we do, China could catch up. And I also want to stress that it's not a race in the sense that, like, if someone makes some AI system that's much better than everyone else's, we want it to be good, yes, but we also want it to be safe.
Okay. When you say safe, what do you mean?
Well, there's a lot of dangers that come with AI. You know, again, there's a lot of positives. There's also some dangers that we have to watch out for. So one thing that's recently been in the news is cybersecurity. So using the models that are at the cutting edge of the AI systems to find exploits in the software that runs banks or that runs important social media sites or anything that has your data in it. And one of the issues that people are finding is that these AIs are so good at finding bugs in this code that all of a sudden the number of bugs that are known shoots up. So the responsible thing to do, which is thankfully what has been started to be set out as a trend, is to give these models to the defenders first. Give it to the software companies, give it to the banks before you release it to the general public. That way they can patch all the exploits that it finds. So cybersecurity is one issue. Another issue people talk about is synthetic biology. It's a little more speculative, but you know, maybe AIs could make people's work in bio labs more dangerous for people with less skill could make something like a dangerous kind of germ. But then also, in principle, if an AI gets smart enough, if it really wants something that's bad for humans, you know, something like turning the whole world into more computers, then we would have a problem with that.
Right, of course. Okay.
Yeah.
My special guest on Guys Radio today, AGG Liu and his AGG's partner, Ashwari Pawar, PhD, put together this wonderful book, and it's called The Handy Artificial Intelligence Answer Book. You folks did a great job with it.
Thank
Really
you. Yeah.
fantastic. And I'm reading it at the same time as my 13-year-old son, and
Oh, wow. Okay.
we just open up a question or ask a question, look it up, and the answer's there. It's really fantastic, and I urge everybody to get a copy of this because you really want to learn about this. This is going to be part of our lives, and it's up to us how we use it. You mentioned AGG finding little holes in things, and I was reading about medicine, how
Yes.
artificial intelligence can help medicine, where maybe they read a scan or something, and they can pick things out ahead of time that
Yes.
traditionally that the physicians may not be able to see. Talk to us a little bit about that, because that's a really good thing. And is there an issue with that maybe because sometimes AI is wrong?
So I'd say medicine is one of the areas people are most optimistic about when it comes to AI. This is one of the areas where we think it's going to be a great tool. It's already starting to be a great tool because medicine is an area where your body is so complicated. There's so many little systems, there's so much that could be changed by something like a medicine or something by a treatment like a surgery or something like that. And having a machine like an AI that's very good at finding patterns in data, that's sort of its fundamental job, makes it a lot easier, in principle at least, to diagnose things. Like they could work with a radiologist looking at an X-ray and see, okay, maybe the AI can flag little points on the X-ray image that the radiologist might want to look at further, or it could help look at what your specific symptoms are, what your specific test results are, and find is there a drug out there in the world already that can treat your disease, maybe better than it would be able to treat someone else with a vaguely similar but not quite the same disease. Mm-hmm. Already in clinical trials, people are testing medicines that AI has come up with. The AI has searched through all the possible chemicals and just seen what might actually be helpful to our body instead of hurtful to it.
At that same, on the same note, AGG, is AI being used to find holistic cures, if you will, for maladies that people have? Because I was watching the news this morning, and one of the guys, some science or medical expert, came on and was touting AI developed vaccines. Now, depending on how you feel about vaccines, some people no way, and now they're going to use this against us, and other people are like, oh, that's great. What's your take on is AI being? I guess a lot of it depends on who's behind challenging AI to come up with stuff. And so I guess the question is, how's that being done? And are they looking for natural stuff as well as, pharma-based solutions when it comes to medicine?
Yeah, of course, of course. I'd say there's nothing saying AI has to do one exact approach to medicine. There's nothing in the systems that are saying it has to follow this pharma-based approach the way you're talking about. People are talking about using it to help people's mental health, to help people's wellness in their exercise programs or in their general lifestyles, or you could even look at it, to find remedies in nature, that kind of stuff. Are there plants out there, or are there animals or other sorts of, mushrooms, I don't know, that have these useful properties, and so again, AI is a very good pattern matching tool. It can find patterns in data. It can find information that you might overlook. And so, yeah, I'd say definitely there's a great capability to help with wellness beyond just targeted drugs and surgeries and things like that.
Now, an obvious area where AI can help but also possibly replace human jobs is through customer service. I had a question. I got a bill from the DMV, and they had, this is a license fee and this is a registration fee. I'm out here in California for a leased vehicle. So I'm like, well, my license is up at the end of the year. Is this refer to that or whatever? So I went on the AI, I went onto the website, and an AI chatbot came up, and I actually put in exactly what my situation was, and they answered it perfectly. It was a lot better.
Amazing.
Instead of my usually going like representative, I got the AI, and they just nailed it. And it took me half the time. I didn't have to wait. I'm not super clear all the time, and they understood exactly what I wanted, and it gave me the correct answer.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome use case. I'm glad it worked for you. I'd say that there is an interesting question there, which is AI is very good, say, 99% of the time. And then occasionally it'll run across something that it can't generalize its training data to something, your new situation, as easily. So I think it's very good to maybe have AI sort of like the first person you interact with, or person in big air quotes, right? You have that opportunity to have the AI talk to you and see if it can answer your question quickly. And if maybe the AI is not sure what's going on, or you have some more additional questions that you're not sure if it's answering correctly, then you have the opportunity to speak to a person. I think that would be a very good system with the level that AIs are now. Maybe in the future they'll become, even more reliable, and we can actually use them 100% of the time. But I'm glad that you're talking about, using AIs to talk to people directly, because, even in customer service is one area. Another area is, like, if you imagine in medicine, if you have someone who's like a doctor in a rural area, and they can have the AI check in with patients first and then refer to them anything that they need to make decisions about with their human judgment. And so really having the AI augment humans in these interactions with people, I think, is an interesting and fruitful area.
So it's another layer that can actually help us.
Yes. And I think for the moment, and again, this may change as AI continues to develop, the best way for you to be using AI is to augment your human judgment, your human decisions, and your human abilities. This is just like one example of it, but there's lots of examples all over the place.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I think it comes at the right time, because I don't know if you agree or disagree, but a lot of people aren't very good at their jobs nowadays, nor do they care that much. And a lot of people are good at their jobs. So this is just another layer that can be helpful, and actually I think can save time. I think let's talk about some of the workplace. There's certain jobs, like, you know, you go to a law firm and you have all these associates and they spend all the time in the library and all that, and all these hours, that's going to change. And I don't know if those folks are needed. But what is needed in the legal profession, at least, and I just use this as an example of how AI can do certain things and not other things, you're still going to have a kick-ass trial lawyer. And you can't put AI right now, you can't put AI in a robot and put it in front of a jury. You've got to have somebody with some charisma who knows how to make that emotional connection with a jury and an audience. So some people are going to be even higher valued, and other people, maybe their jobs will go away, or maybe they'll have to work with AI or whatever. How do you see is it an industry by industry case where the model in terms of how much AI and how much human is going to work? And in some instances, where do you see more people, more jobs coming out of the use of AI? I know I threw a lot at you, but
Okay, I'll take it one step at a time. So yeah, there's a lot of talk about AI and job loss. And if you can imagine previous waves of automation, something like the Industrial Revolution, when we first had steam engines instead of having to, weave cloth ourselves, it really changed the nature of work. And there was a time period where a lot of people lost their jobs before they were able to find new ones and find new opportunities in this industrial economy. And so the same way, right now, we could have that same scenario, right? A lot of jobs that currently exist are going to be very different or potentially non-existent because of the way AI is. So like you said, all those paralegals out in the trying to research things in the library and so forth like that, their job's going to be different. And maybe there will be fewer of them needed per law firm. But there's a really interesting story about ATMs and bank tellers that people like to tell. Which is that once ATMs were first invented, everyone's like, okay, that's it. We're not going to have any bank tellers anymore. But actually, for a couple decades, the number of bank tellers actually increased.
Really?
Yeah. And the weird reason it turns out is that because ATMs made it cheaper to operate a bank branch and people wanted more bank branches closer to them, all of a sudden there'd be fewer tellers per branch. But now they were more branches, so it made up for that. And so there's the same phenomenon might happen with this wave of automation, with this kind of AI. If you work in a kind of job that people might want a lot more of, so if you are a nurse or a physician's assistant, people might, if they became richer or if they had more free time on their hands, they might want to have more medicine, to help them be healthier and live longer and so forth, or, holistic medicine, like you said as well. If you're in something like that, then maybe this will apply to your job too. Maybe the kinds of things you're doing will change. You won't be doing as many other routine stuff that is easy for the AI to do. But the remaining parts of the job, your judgment, your interaction with people, those kinds of things might become even more in demand. So yeah, so there's those kinds of jobs where they grow in opportunity as the AI gets better. And there's also kinds of jobs like with physical manual labor, things like being a welder or things like being a plumber or an HVAC technician. Where it's very hard to train an AI to do that right now because the AIs need lots and lots of data, and there isn't just lots of data on exactly where to put your hands, and there's not the robots that can be those hands for the AI.
But at the same time, you could use, let's say you're a plumber. Maybe you can't get a robot right now to go under the sink and fix a leaky pipe. But the plumber could refer to AI to get the right answers to what part they might need, what wrench they might need, something where on the fly, you know, they might have to be a lot of trial and error, and having the AI as a
For
resource
sure.
could really help them and they could do a better job.
Yeah, I mean, even as, a writer, I'm a little bit of a different job, but I often will go to AI not to actually write things for me, but to say, "Hey, can you give me some sources I can look at? Can you give me some ways I might want to phrase this? I might not pick the one that it chooses, but I might use it as inspiration." There's a lot of ways right now you can use AI to augment your job. And I think if you can learn how to do that right now, you'll be in a more advantageous place as AI continues to develop.
Absolutely. My special guest, AGG Liu, right here on Guys Guys Radio. We're talking about the Handy Artificial Intelligence Answer Book. Really fantastic. And I'm enjoying this conversation. So thank you for being here.
Of
I
course.
mean, you're a very smart person. How did you get tabbed to do this book?
Well, so
Because
I
you're pretty young,
I'm on the
relatively
younger side.
speaking.
Yeah, I'm in my late 20s.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had previously worked on a book, you can see over my other shoulder if you're watching the video, called 30 Second Space Travel. This is a book about the history and physics of space travel. It came out a few years ago. I worked on that along with my dad, Dr. Charles Liu. And the publisher for this book, for the Handy AI Answer book, had worked with my dad on other books in this series. So there's a whole Handy Answer book series. There's, the other ones my dad had worked on were Handy Quantum Physics Answer book, some other ones like that. And he was looking around for, people who would have the technical skills and the writing skills to be able to do this. And I feel lucky he came across me, and I
That's
was very happy
fantastic.
to do this.
Fantastic. Well, you stepped up. You've done a very impressive job.
Thank you.
Education. Let's talk about education a little bit. My wife spent many years in education at the very high levels in New York City, been part of the principals program through Mayor Bloomberg, and also was a kind of a coach for teachers in various school systems in tough neighborhoods. And she asked me about this. What do you see the role of AI in terms of you've got, on one hand, you've got the role of teachers has changed and that they have to have like a common standard, just like in medicine, where they have to teach a certain way, certain things, and that's it. And how will AI impact that? Is that a good thing or not? And then from what I see, when I was talking to her, you have, well, students are using AI to get to do their tests, and the teachers are using AI to
Degrade the tests.
grade their tests and reports. What that seems like a really fluid situation, at GG.
It's something that's changing very quickly in real time. I would say we've come across similar problems like this before. If you are a math teacher and you've, been in this for 50 years, you know someone who's been in it for 50 years, or was there 50 years ago, you know when calculators first came onto the scene. That totally changed the game of math teaching. All of a sudden, it was useful still to teach people how to add, subtract, multiply, but it wasn't the be all end all of everything anymore. All of a sudden, you could unlock, because these students have access to this calculator, some new ways of teaching, some new topics that they might not be able to do, or that might not be able to cover in as much depth without it. Similarly, we're going to have to adapt to AI because it's out there in the workplace. If you want to teach kids how to, do their actual job, they're going to be able to use AI. It's going to be there and accessible to them for, 99.9% of people. I think that, the English teachers grading essays or people grading tests and things like that, they need to adapt the same way the math teachers did. And maybe we'll have a good way at some point of saying, hey, don't use AI on this one question because we're going to be watching you in class. And so we want to prove that you can do it. But once we know you can do it, maybe you're allowed to use the AI and sort of critique its answers. Say, use your own judgment again for determining whether the AI said something that's worthwhile or not worthwhile. And it's really something that's going to take a lot of adaptation, and the school system takes us a long time to adapt. So it's gonna be a little bit tough during those years while it's happening. But if you're a teacher and you're listening to this, I'd say try and see if you can work AI into your classroom, and not just on a surface level, but on a way where it's actually contributing to the students' understanding of this new tool in their life.
Great idea. In terms of accreditations with AI, so everybody needs to learn how to use AI, just like everybody had to learn how to use the internet and everybody had to learn email and all of that stuff at the very beginning. So what would be the good steps in terms of somebody, they want to get comfortable with AI, should they take a coursive course or something? Is that necessary? How do you start using it to have a skill that you can leverage? Because I got to think that everybody who goes for a job nowadays is going to be asked about AI and how do you prove you're good at it versus somebody else? Do you need
That's
accreditation?
So I don't know if it's going to be, a formal coursework accreditation situation. I think that might turn out to be something that people find useful. But if you want to get started using AI in your job or in your life, you can just go online to the AI websites, the big ones. You got Claude, you've got ChatGPT, you've got Gemini from Google. And if you start interacting with it, and you interact with it knowing that it's an imperfect tool, but it's still pretty good at a lot of things, you can learn over time just by doing, basically. And so you can have those conversations with the AI. You can maybe give it a task that's not super important that you could maybe redo if you need to, and see what it's good at and what it's not good at compared to your specific job, to your specific kinds of jobs that you are interested in doing and are able to do. And yeah, there's a lot you can do in terms of just trying the thing and seeing if it works. I'm always a fan of hands-on learning. That's just my style.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah. But if you,
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, of course. But yeah, but I think that there, I mean, obviously we've got my book. I'm happy for you to read it if you want to learn about it there. But there's also online resources and various other, kinds of guides people have. And I'm not sure exactly which ones are the most useful besides, the one that I wrote. I have a little bias there.
Okay. Well, let's talk, and you did a great job. So highly recommended. Let me hold up the book again for everybody who's on video. The Handy Artificial Answer Book, A.G.G. Liu and Dr. Ashwari Pawar.
Yes, Dr. Ashwari Pawar, my co-author.
So now there's, you mentioned three of the AI big brands, if you will, Chat,
yes.
Claude, and Google has, what's Google?
Gemini.
Gemini. Okay,
yes.
So what is the, for people out there who are not sure, I mean, everybody steps in, they tiptoe in and they play around with Chat and they do the free version. So let's talk about Chat first. What's Chat good at? And is should you go beyond the free version? And if so, why would you need to go beyond the free version?
Yeah, of course. So the difference between the free version and the paid version is which model you're using and how long it's allowed to process for, basically. So one of the things that's been discovered since ChatGPT first came online, in the past few years, is that you can have an AI model think through its actions word by word, just be like, okay, write down step by step what you plan to do, what you're thinking at any given moment. And because that basically gives it more time to think, it actually does produce a better result in a lot of different cases. So if you're using the free version, I'm not sure what the details were at any given moment because they keep changing the pricing systems.
Right, right.
But often when you're using the free version, there's a limit to how long it can think through that thing. It's called a chain of thought. I mean, there's a limit to how long its chain of thought can be.
Yep.
You may be using a model that's older or a model that is easier to run on their data center. Whereas if you're doing the paid version, they'll give you access to like a beefier one. They'll let you have it think for longer. And often that means if it's trying to do some analytical task, something like processing a spreadsheet or something like that, it can actually do that better. Maybe it'll design its own spreadsheet functions and so forth if it has that bigger model, if it has that longer time to think. And this really applies to any of the big ones. So whether you're using ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini, it's all pretty similar in that vein. I think the reputation is that Claude is better with hard analytical tasks, things like trying to design your own program or spreadsheet or something like that. And ChatGPT is a little bit better with like emotional tasks or creative tasks. But they're all pretty similar in that regard. I'd say which one you use is a lot, to do with your personal preference. Just try them all out and see which one works and which ones you can afford to pay for if you want to.
So I guess, for instance, I'm working on a book proposal. I wanted to do the proposal. I've written the proposal. I was thinking maybe I should just shove it into ChatGPT and see what it comes at back with. Maybe it'll have some ideas and I can tweak some things. How that's just an example of how
sure.
You either let Chat do the work or you do the work and let Chat take a look at it. So
yes.
If you have, let's say you have a document, how do you put it in? And how do you get what prompts? Because everything I read, it's
right.
All about all these prompts like red and this and that, all these the code words that you're supposed to use to get the best information back. Talk to us a little bit about, both of those things, the prompts and also how do you input something to get the best response?
Okay. So a lot of the websites now, ones like Claude is the one I use the most, but also ChatGPT and I believe also Gemini. You can attach it as a file the same way you would attach it to an email. You could even just copy paste the entire thing right into the chat text box.
Okay.
And it'll be able to read that. In terms of prompts, this is an interesting one. Prompts, you want to emphasize to the AI, remember the AI is trying to match patterns. It's trying to look at the text you gave it and see what someone answering a question on that text and with the question that you asked would actually say. And so the better question you can ask, the better result you're going to get. So if you want to say, hey, I just want it. If you just want it to check your grammar and your spelling, then just tell it that in normal English words, in detail, maybe the way you'd explain to an employee of yours.
Like clean up, it could clean up a document for you.
Yeah. Say, please clean up this document. Even you can do multiple sentences. Please clean up this document. I'd like you to check the spelling and the grammar, especially in these particular ways. And you could even say something like, and I want it to sound formal, or I want it to sound personal, or I want it to sound something like that. And they're actually really good at reading these regular English descriptions.
Yeah.
So if you don't know the magic keywords to make the prompt do what you want, the reasonably good thing to do that still works is just describe exactly what it is you want in as many sentences as you need, because these things can pay attention to, you know, a whole document at a time. If you have a paragraph of instructions, they have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm. How about these codes that I keep reading about and I see people pop up on social media? Here's the 5 codes you need to know to get the most out of ChatGPT. And I'm like, do I really need to? So I bookmark it and then I forget about it. But are these things important? And what are they? What's the...
I haven't found them super important myself. So I notice that among people who are heavy users of AI, so people who I know who use it the most, what they'll often do is give the prompt, because when they're asking the question, basically, this is what we mean by the prompt, they'll give the AI these questions and descriptions about the kinds of formatting. They're like, you know, do you want to give me just the information in bullet points, or please give me a longer paragraph describing this in detail, or please give me sources that I can go look at myself. But they'll basically have a few of these typed paragraphs already, and they'll just paste one right in and then edit it to be the specific instructions for their specific question. And it's not a magic box. It is a tool that we don't understand perfectly, exactly all the details of the inside, but it's a tool that we know overall matches patterns and tries to answer questions according to the patterns inside of its head there. So yeah, you can just talk to it a lot like you talk to a person. Talk to like someone who may not have experience with exactly what you're dealing with or may not know you very well, but you can just give them instructions in normal English language, mm-hmm. and it'll follow those reasonably well.
So I'm sorry. So you said the code words are super important or are not important?
The code words are not very important.
Okay.
If you can make a good alternative, which is just describing it in English.
So if you can articulate what you want. Just
yeah,
like
then you don't need any code words for that.
Okay.
If you can articulate what you want, then you're good.
All right. Wow, you're doing such an amazing job, AGG. Thank you. Could you just take
you.
A few minutes and tell everybody out there what they really, you're an expert in the field. Tell everybody what they need to know about AI and what's the best way for them to get started.
All right. So you can get started by talking to it. You can go online. You can go to one of these things. You can talk to it and you can see what it feels like, see what kinds of things it's good at and what kinds of things it's bad at. Overall, the things that you need to know, it's a pattern recognition machine. It matches language, and it's very, very good at matching language, which is why it sounds so coherent, why it's very good at answering people's questions. It's getting better over time, so if you tried it back when ChatGPT first came out in 2022, you're going to have a different experience with it now, and it's going to be even smarter in the future. You know, this is as dumb as it will ever be, is the saying that it goes. Mm-hmm. And also, it's something that we need to make sure is safe going forward, both in terms of people misusing it, to cause trouble, whether that's with cyber attacks or whether that's with bio areas or anything like that. Or in principle, if the AI gets out of our control, you know, if it starts going rogue, not maybe exactly like something like Terminator, but it's something that is on people's minds. There are people who care about this kind of safety and there are people who are working on it.
Now, if you sign up for, like I signed up for the free version of Chat a little while ago, does it mm-hmm. automatically upgrade to the newer versions or do I have to upgrade it on my own? Do I have to do anything?
You don't really have to do very much. It'll automatically get to the new versions on its own. If you want an even newer version than the free version can provide, you can subscribe to the paid version, obviously. Yarn powerful itself. But yeah, so it's like Google. You know, if Google makes an update to itself, you just still go to google.com and type in your search. It'll do the same thing there.
Is there any concern, last question, with your personal information and some of the things you're asking? Maybe
yes.
Like in a legal situation, you're asking some questions about how to handle a specific situation or case, and you mm-hmm. don't want them because somebody's holding on to this information, right?
Yeah, someone is holding on to this information. Mm-hmm. So especially if you're using the free version, one of the ways the companies sort of help pay for that is they'll take your chats and they will use that training data as training data for the next version. So there have been a couple of high profile cases where some companies, someone isn't using it correctly and they don't understand that your data isn't private by the time you put it in there. And, you know, it leaks something important.
Got it.
And that's always a danger. So if you're really worried about that, you can look into services where you can run it, you know, your own version of ChatGPT that doesn't go to the training data that usually costs money. Or you can be careful with the kinds of questions that you ask it, you know, don't give all the specific details that would be privacy violating.
Got it. The Power, Problems, and Impact of Artificial Intelligence, my special guest on Guys Radio, AGG Liu. You did a great job. I hope you'll come back, because this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of the questions that I have and our listeners have. Thanks so much. I hope you'll come back, and best of luck with the book and all the work you're doing, because you're terrific.
Thank you so much.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, a fascinating conversation, and we only were at the tip of the iceberg about artificial intelligence with AGG Liu, who did a masterful job in putting this book together, and also, it's a great reference book, and also just giving us a great overview on AI, how it's different than traditional computers and coding and databases, and what we need to be aware of, and how we need to learn how to use AI as the tool that's going to become a part of our lives for the rest of our lives. So it's a good time to kind of educate yourself. So we also talked about, how the computers and AI are different. Why is data considered more important than algorithms in AI? Some of the things that AI will be able to do for us, and some of the things where it won't be able to replace the human element, and some areas where it can. So as we mentioned earlier, AI is a tool. So it's going to replace some services, but it's also going to open up more opportunities in terms of development and creative solutions creation, etc. AI is not the answer to everything, but it's a useful tool and can really help you get ahead. We talked about a little bit about ChatGPT and Claude and the Google service. Lost the name of it here, but there's a lot. There's a lot of options that you can look at when you're looking at AI. And there's courses you can take. I think Coursera has a course on just everything about artificial intelligence. But also, you could start with this book, which is fantastic. It's over 400 pages long, and it's just strictly questions. For instance, I just flipped over and opened to a page. How is AI helping older adults with medication management? Or here's another one. How does AI contribute to social interaction and combating loneliness in older adults? I mean, it's got the chapters on everything. Any question you could possibly dream of is addressed in this book, as well as an overview and suggestions for where and what use or resources to use if you want to learn more about AI and use it to help you in your career. Because as we discussed, you're going to have to know how to use AI to get ahead in this world going forward. It's like the internet. It ain't going away, folks. So study up and have fun with it. It's a great tool, and you can have a lot of fun with AI. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.